Hey, my friends, we're back as always. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you guys the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. As always, I've seen a lot of people taking advantage of the 3 and 6 pack of this. And kudos to you guys, because it's a big discount I did on here. We put it on a 3-pack normally, and then what happened was you guys made so many comments about it. I rolled a 6-pack up on it, kind of just throwing it out there, and I'm shocked on how many people have grabbed it, but then I'm not, because I've told you guys before, if anybody has used this product, it's 3-collagen peptide formula. You have to stay on it for a while. That's just what it is with collagen, because the body uses so much collagen up, and it's needed for so many different functions. We just went live. By the way, YouTube's up live now. That was the video coming up here on the live feed at healthmasters.com, the Ted and Austin Brower Show.
So it's doing it automatically now?
Yeah, it rolled in. I had it sitting there. You can see it right here. Look at that. We're rolling up. So I'll be in the chats today again, guys, jumping in and out of there on YouTube Live. And also be sure to check out thebrowershow.com, the full platform. We have all the shows on there. You can click them right to the show. We've got Apple Podcast link, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Gab, Spotify, Rumble, and all the topics on what the episodes are, including the products that a lot of times we cover in the shows. So be sure to check that out at browershow.com if you're interested in that. You go right back to the top and click Shop Supplements, and boom, you're right there, ready to rock. The Ultimate Multiple Capsules on sale for Product of the Week.
I've got a little expose I got to do here this morning.
On what?
Choices.
Choices.
And consequences.
Choices and consequences. Those two go hand in hand.
You know, I was speaking to a listener the other day.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an interesting conversation. It was like, you guys have too many rules.
Too many rules? Or too much discipline?
Too many rules.
Okay.
I've never, now we're going to talk about this right now. Because if one person's thinking this, other people are thinking it too. You know, and so yeah, you figure one person says something, there's like 50 more that want to say something, or 100 more, 200
yeah.
more. And, you know, and this is something that I've talked about my entire life.
I'm sure the iPad just went down, guys.
Yeah, if I had a lapel mic and cameras, it would follow me around the studio here. I'd be running around right now.
One of those?
One of those this morning. I mean, I had kind of an epiphany this morning, and I started thinking about it. I started thinking, rules. And I said to the person, I said, rules? You mean like, you know, don't eat pork? Yeah, that's a rule. I don't like that rule. Don't smoke cigarettes. No, I don't like that rule either. Okay? Don't get drunk. No, I don't like that rule. I got it. You're angry at me. Okay, I got it. And don't commit adultery. Oh, where'd that come from? Yeah. Don't hang out with people that are going to strip clubs. Yeah, you can do that if you want. I don't care what you do. It's kind of weird, you know, but listening to this show and talking about strip clubs, the same thing doesn't really equate. And this is kind of weird, you know?
Oh, man.
And I remember, you know, years ago, and I've told my story before, I'll tell it again. I was in a Ford Maverick, and I was going to a strip club.
Ford Maverick, you date yourself.
Oh, yeah, old, yeah. And I was invited by some friends. I was not walking with God at all, and I was invited to a strip club. And I didn't really, had never been to one. I was kind of curious about it. And I'm not advocating this at all from a curiosity standpoint. I never went anyhow. I never went with them. But I got in the car, and as soon as I got in the car, they started doing drugs. They started smoking stuff. And, you know, and the guy named Sammy was driving, and Rocky was sitting beside him with some little pencil neck beside me. And they started passing stuff around. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, you didn't tell me you could do this. I said, it's not going to work for me. You know, I said, I was raised in this mess. I don't want to see it. I've had enough of it. I said, I'm in college. I'm going to do something with my life. And Sammy was sitting right in front of me, the Maverick. And the Maverick had these little pop-out windows. You couldn't even roll them down. It was wintertime. It was like January. It was cold, and this whole thing was hotboxed. And I said, and they're smoking in there, right? And I said, I need to go home. I'm not dealing with this. You know, Mama told me not to come. Remember the song, Three Dog Night? That really dates me, by the way, because most of you wanted to have no idea. Why don't you listen to that song after I get done talking after the show today? And I told Sammy, I said, you know, buddy, I said, I need you to take me back to my car. I'm not doing this. You know, I've got a hope in the future. I'm not going to deal with this drug stuff right now. I've already seen enough of this. And he started laughing at me. He thought it was funny. Now, remember, I was a bodybuilder. I had 18.5-inch arms. I wasn't very friendly. I was kind of a redneck.
You not friendly as a heathen?
No.
Say it ain't so.
The bouncer in a bar. I mean, it was awful, you know. You say, I can't believe you said you did this. Okay, just stay with me for a second. So I said, Sammy, I said, by the way, I said, I'm gonna knock you out. I use some other colorful language in there. I'm not going to use it on the show today if you don't take me back to my car. And he goes, well, there's three against, you know, you. And I said, yeah, you should have brought more people. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, oh, pencil neck here beside me. He's going to get an elbow to the face. And I said, I'm going to knock you out. I have to deal with Rocky. And Sammy was looking in the mirror at me. And he goes, what are you, nuts? I said, no, I don't want to be in here. I said, I'm not going to do this. I said, I'm making a choice right now because if we get busted, the consequences are predetermined. Now, I want you to listen to what I just said. I've got a choice, but the consequence is already made. It's a legal consequence. You're going to deal with it. You've got the cops arrest you and take you to jail in handcuffs. And I didn't say that to Sammy, but I'm thinking this. And so I said, I'm going to count backwards from 10, and I'm going to knock you out. And he goes, well, there's three of us in here. You got to do all three. I said, no, you'll be unconscious. Pencil Knuck will be unconscious. I said, I'm going to be trying to get out of the car because there'll be a scrap of heat metal, but I'm not doing this. This is not happening with me. Cops show up. I'm telling you, abducted me. And he goes, well, are you serious? I said, I'm counting backwards from 10. So I started counting backwards. You think, God, Ted, are you that big of a redneck? I was that big of a redneck. And so I pulled the fist back to hit him because I was going to knock him out. And he's driving the car, which kind of tells you how pissed off I was. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that word. And I got to five, and he looked at me, and he said, you're really going to hit me, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not going to hit you. I'm going to knock you out. And I said, the only person I've got to contend with is Rocky, and we're going to crawl out of the wreckage. I said, I've had enough of it. I'm not dealing with you guys. Well, he turned around. He slammed on his brakes. Man, you're nuts. I said, I'm not nuts. I'm just going to have choices and consequences. I'm dealing with this. So he took me back to my car. I was done. Never went to the strip club. Now, the thing about it is, and the reason I tell you that, about 15 years later, Sammy got into a bad drug deal here in Central Florida, didn't pay his suppliers because he was involved with all that crazy stuff. And they basically put a hit on him. And they called him up out of Costa Rica, where they were running the drugs out of. And they asked him to come down there. They'd settle it with him and figure out how to make it work. He went down there. And when they got to him, he got down there. The plastic sheets were already on the hotel floor. And they cut him up in little pieces, tied him off, and took his arms and legs off, and then killed him, and then took him out in the parking lot and burned him. You see, this is a horrible story to start with on a Tuesday. I'm just telling you about choices and consequences.
Now, it's Tuesday, bro. I got excessive consequences quick.
Okay. Well, 15 years later.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you think yourself, so Sammy got burned in the parking lot. He's quite dead. Because somebody asked me, well, was he dead? Yeah, he was dead. Okay. And the crazy part about it is when I was talking to my friend the other day about, you know, rules, I said to him, I said, you got this wrong. Okay. You're not thinking through this clearly. They're not rules. They're choices. You've called them rules because you've made them negative. They're not negative. They're just choices. I choose to eat pork. I choose not to eat pork. It's not a rule. It's you know, we're under grace through faith. Now, God doesn't want us eating pork. He tells you not to, or you're going to get cancer. But the point is, or you have a high probability of getting cancer. So he's giving you choices. Now, let me explain something to you. The choices are given to you to make. You can do drugs. You can not do drugs. You can smoke. You can not do drugs. You know, and then some people are either telling you to do nicotine. We talked about that so many times. You got choices that you've got to make. By the way, I don't advocate nicotine in any source, any form. And so what happens is once you make the choice, the consequences are predetermined. You drive over the speed limit. You get a ticket. You got consequences. You drive in Florida. You drive 50 miles an hour over the speed limit. Now you're going to get arrested and handcuffed and hauled off to jail. It doesn't matter if you're on a back road somewhere in the middle of nowhere and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If the cop decides he's mad about something or another, has had a bad day with the IRS or a bad day with his wife, you got consequences. You got to deal with that. All of this stuff becomes predetermined consequences. You step off a 10-story building, you say, ha, excuse my language, hell no, I don't believe in rules. I'll do whatever I want to do. I don't care what you say. I don't care, do what you want to do. You step off a 10-story building, consequences are predetermined. Excuse my language. But tells me it's not a cuss word, it's a place. And people say, well, what do you mean by that? I said, make it simpler. If you do certain things that are going to cause you to die, you step off the Sunshine Skyway Bridge, you're going to die off the high end of it. That's why they got nets all around us. You can't jump off. They got tired of people committing suicide on it. And so people no.
Skyway's out in St. Pete, by the way. It's an enormous bridge.
It was hundreds of feet high.
And it's over the water, and it's
well, you hit hard a, water. You hit a water at a certain speed. It's like hitting concrete. And so they got tired of people bouncing off the top and killing themselves, right? I say, because there's choices and there's consequences. And they say, why are you saying all this? If you eat a certain way and you eat a bunch of omega-6 fats and you don't take supplements, you want to stay up all night, You drink a bunch of coffee all the time. You smoke cigarettes all the time. You got consequences. It doesn't matter now. First, you got choices. I'm going to choose to do this. I'm going to choose not to do this. They're not rules. Don't make them rules. Well, you got too many rules. No. I've got a friend of mine one time. We were raising the kids, and she says, you got too many rules for your children. I'm all my children are, you know, academic wonders. They do great. And this group basically had this kid who was in homeschool, no rules, and he's 20 years old, trying to get out of high school. And one day he's at my house, and he's about to go to college. The Holy Spirit says to me, so-and-so can't read. I'm like, can't read. Have him read the first, you know, paragraph out of this book. And I walked over to him. I said, do me a favor. You're about to start college. Read the first paragraph. Couldn't read it. Couldn't read. Functionally illiterate. I thought, okay, well, that's choices, right? He had choices. He didn't have to do anything. He stayed stoned all the way through high school. And here he is, you know, 20 years later, 18 years later, still stoned. But there were no consequences because they continued to support him. And to this day, he's still being supported by his family. The crazy part about it is you got choices, you got consequences. You think, well, what happened? Well, they took him and put him in Sylvan reading, and he learned how to read before he went to college. Because I had him read a book that he couldn't read. All of these things are consequential. You don't have a choice. See, again, I'm going to say it again. You have the right to make the choice. That's called freedom of will. God gave you that. You don't have the right to determine the consequence. It's determined for you. You know, you end up going to college or you're going to school, you're in high school and you're whatever, and you want to go to graduate school, and you have a certain GPA, and your GPA is a 4.0, so you have all these open doors, all these open choices, because now you've got a 4.0 GPA. You don't have a 4.0, you have a 3.2, or you're white. Yeah, I'm going to say that too. You're white, now you don't have a choice. Now you have to have 4.0, otherwise you don't have a choice. And so all of a sudden now, instead of going to all these schools of your choice, now you've got about three schools you go to, maybe. If you get in because you're white, because you're a bad person, you're white.
Let me interject, hold that thought for a second. This also goes to all the kids that I know that are younger. If you major in some moronic degree, there's also predetermined consequences for that. If I'm going to go major in gender studies, and I'm going to try to get a job in the corporate world,
not going to happen.
The consequences are you're unhireable.
Unless that corporation specializes in DEI.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, that's gotten way cut down.
Oh, yeah. But so the point is this. If you eat certain foods, you're going to have a much higher probability. Now we have probabilities and choices and consequences of coming down with heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. If you choose not to include really good protein in your system, you're going to have brittle nails. You're going to have hair fall out. You're going to have saggy skin. You're going to look awful. You look like somebody cat dragged it at 3 o'clock in the morning, and somebody left you laying on the front porch, and your husband's going to walk out, or your wife's going to walk out, and they're going to go, what the heck did I marry? Look at you. You look awful. You think, this is terrible, Ted. I'm just telling you the truth, because you haven't taken care of yourself. Suddenly, you waddled in at 500 pounds, and your wife still tries to work out and look good, your husband, or your vice versa, and now you got consequences. Now you got a marriage that's going to get kind of rocky because of Facebook. And all the other filthy stuff out there. You say, well, you say Facebook is filthy. I'm telling you, there's been more adultery committed in this United States of America and of the world because of social media in the last 20 years than we've ever seen before. Everything's changed. Everything's changed. So you want to hang out with people on your Facebook page? Instagram, like Austin says, is not a real place.
Not a real place.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, Facebook's not a real place. You know, a lady starts posting pictures of her in a bikini on Facebook. Next thing you know, she's got a boyfriend and she's got a husband at the same time. And all of a sudden, she got more than one boyfriend. All of a sudden, the husband finds out. Now there's consequences. Husband says, I've had it with you. Same thing happens with men. They start posting pictures of themselves, and they start trolling the internet to find another person to hang out with. Suddenly, they're not answering their phone when their wife calls or when their husband calls. They're not answering the phone anymore. They're like, I don't want my wife to hear this. I don't want my spouse to hear this because I'm talking to somebody else. And you're like, well, what about the kids? Well, there's consequences for them, too, isn't there? Now they got a broken family. Now they got two daddies. Now they got two Christmases. Now they got two Thanksgivings. Now they got to deal with all that junk. All of these things are choices and consequences. So when we say to you, hey, look, here's your choice. You can eat pork or not eat pork. You can smoke or not smoke. You can take collagen or you can have saggy skin. You pick what you want. You can do purple sticks and have tremendous energy in the morning and feel great, which I've had four of these now. Or
I can tell.
Yeah, I can tell too. Or you can drink a bunch of coffee and elevate your cortisol and swell up like a doggone tick on a dog because you got so much inflammation in your body and your heart's pounding all the time and your cortisol goes all through the roof and you feel awful all the time. Or you just use purple sticks.
Another thing too you got to add on there. Sometimes the consequences don't just affect you.
Because everybody else.
Especially if you have kids. And health. You want to eat junk food, your choice, your consequences, you deal with the problems. The problem is you bring the food in the house, the kids eat the food. Kids start having health problems. Here's an article here I want to cover.
Let me finish this.
Because this tying into exactly
what I want to finish this stuff. Go ahead.
Obesity in teens lead to a large brain regions associated with memory and emotion. And they're going into detail now talking about teen obesity changed the size of the brain regions critical for learning, emotional, and self-control, developing long-term cognitive and emotional developmental problems. It's exactly what you're talking
about. Okay, now I'm going to say this. I had a relative, not going to mention any names, obese when he's a child, okay, had all kinds of emotional control problems. I'm not saying he had this, but I'm telling you this is what happened. And then basically I went to the parents. I tried to help him. And the parents got angry at me. Choices and consequences. And I said, well, it's kind of what I do for a living. I help people maintain their health. And they said, we don't care. We don't need your help. This is relative. And I said, okay, we're good. Finally got to the point where they didn't even want me going over to the house and visiting them with my wife because they were angry at me. And I'm like, okay, you just do what you want to do. Finally, about 23 years of age, they said, can you help our son? And I said, I'm trying to help him. I tried to help him. He was 8 years old. You didn't listen. Well, we want to bring him over. Let's talk to him. You know, he shows up. Got tattoos all over his body. He's got one nipple says beer, one nipple tattooed wine. You think I'm joking and I'm not. Got all kinds of satanic imagery all over his body. Got a mohawk with purple hair. You know, on drugs, skin's as yellow as it can be from jaundice, from liver problems with the drugs. This is 23 years of age. And I told him, I said, there's choices and consequences here. This kid's on drugs. You're still supporting him. No, he's not. He would never use drugs. I said, why don't you get him blood tested? Oh, we don't do that. He said he didn't use drugs. Okay, great. He doesn't drink either. I'm like, great. I'm happy for you guys. Goodbye. You know, 15 years later, he dies of a heroin overdose. I don't make this stuff up. Okay? And then Sharon and I are at the doggone death scene. And the cop comes out and he goes,
Heroin Highway in Orlando.
Heroin Highway, way. Colonial Highway.
Bad over there.
Cop comes out and says to us, he's sitting there, he's the investigator. He goes, who enabled this behavior in this young man? He's 37 years old and he's dead. And we said, well, that'd be his dad. Bible says, don't be a willing party to your son's death. You know, and the problem is with all of this stuff, it's choices and consequences. Like Austin just said, we make it for the kids. The kids got the consequences.
Yeah.
But we made it. But we did it. We chose it for them. We brought the junk home and we gave it to them. We gave it to the kids. We determined the choices. So we give them the choices of, you want A, B, C, D, they're all toxic. I'm going to give you one of them. You pick. And they pick.
And they're all bad decisions.
They're all bad. All
That's
bad decisions.
Problem.
And then you got consequences. You got obese kids that have self-esteem issues and all the rest.
As kids get older, you have to give them more autonomy to make proper decisions. Here's the problem. If all the decisions they've ever been given from you are poor, if all the food options they've ever given you are poor,
all the choices are poor,
how can they possibly make a proper, healthy
option
of food? They don't even know what the right option is. Mm-hmm. People always say it sometimes. They go, they got to eat their own food and they go to college. Well, they do, and they will. And they will honestly come back to some type of healthy living if they were raised like that because they understand how much better they feel. If your kid never has an option to make the good choice, how can you ever give them an actual possibility of having a healthy choice? I've had so many families now with kids, and they go, oh, I can't get my kids to stop eating junk. They're sugar. They're obese. They're pre-diabetic. They're having all these health problems. Okay? What do you guys eat every day?
Same thing.
Same exact thing. That's when people, I laugh so much when people go, well, you know, we got obesity in our genetics.
Yeah, whatever.
No, you've got piss poor dietary habits throughout multiple generations of humans in your life. And I'm not trying to be rude. Yes, sometimes genetics can play a certain factor, especially in utero. No question about that, especially with bisphenol A, with high amounts of estrogen and soybeans.
That's exactly
those
right.
Can play a factor, absolutely. But sitting there using that clause, well, you know, we just got, you know, obese genes in our diet. Well, that's because every single generation's eating, you know, basically deep fat fried chicken with gravy and mashed potatoes every night for dinner before eating a tub of Bluebell ice cream. And you wonder why. It was funny. Just yesterday, I had a friend come to the office. Good guy. Owns a big shop over in Winter Haven. Does custom work over there. He's back into bodybuilding again. He used to be really, really strong. Did powerlifting. And I saw him yesterday. Put on some more weight again. And he goes, dude. He goes, it happened so fast, but so slow. He wanted to get some more supplements. He got the purple sticks again. He grabbed the collagen. And he goes, you know, I was doing really good. I was really good shape. I got really busy. He goes, I started buying soda at the shop to bring for everybody. And I started drinking a soda. And he was working on these trucks. And he said, 3 sodas, 4 sodas, fast food, Uber Eats, McDonald's. He goes, 3 months, I'm already up 40 pounds again. Mm-hmm. That fast.
And you know, the thing about it is that, so I want to, I'm going to close it with this, and then we can go back to the show. And I know I'm preaching this morning. Now, if you don't like it, don't watch it. I can't make it so it's any more clear than that. You know, I mean, we're trying to do the best we possibly can to bring you truth every day. And sometimes the truth hurts a little bit. But choices have consequences. But don't call them rules. Don't do that.
Because they are.
Because no, what it is, what ends up happening is if you call them rules, you want to fight against them. You push back. I'm not going to do that. You can't tell me what to do. Okay, great. It's just a choice. I'm not telling you what to do. So if we're sitting here saying, well, you shouldn't use high fructose corn syrup. It's not a rule. It's a choice. I'm not going to take your soda away from you. Had a lady walk up to me one time in Indianapolis. I was doing a seminar. Austin wasn't with me because he's young.
Is it diet soda?
No. She shoved a diet soda in my face at the doggone CD table, tape table where we're selling product. And she goes, I'll do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. And I looked at her. I said, I don't care what you do. It's your choice. I said, if you want to drink paint thinner, it's up to you. You knock yourself out. Watch out for the consequences. And she looked at me and said, I can't believe you said that. You don't care. I said, no, I really don't care. If you're that stupid, what difference does it make? And she looked at me kind of funny. She goes, I can't believe you're talking to me like that. I said, well, you come over and start yelling at me. What do you want me to say to you? I'm not going to listen to your mouth. I'm the one doing the seminar. Obviously, I'm the one with the education enough to do a seminar in front of 25,000 people. You're not. So you do what you want to do. Knock yourself out. And she starts out all mad. And she's one of those Jezebels. She's this bitter, bitter woman. These women, they get mean. They get bitter. They get, ugh. And you say, well, what happened to them? Well, they went through so many relationships because they decided they weren't going to be told what to do. Wait a minute. Did I just say that? They weren't going to choose the consequences, are they? They're going to get the consequences. And so suddenly every single husband, they've had five of them, have dumped them because they won't shut their mouth. And the same thing happens with men. You do the same thing. You make choices for yourself, and you got a predetermined consequence. If you want to be in a relationship that lasts, in a marriage that's great, you got to be reciprocal. You got to trust each other. You got to respect each other. You start lying to each other, you break the respect. Once you break the respect, you break the trust.
Well, and you also have to understand emotional regulation.
And the same thing.
That's a concept that's eluded the vast majority of people now in the United States because of instant gratification. I just had a conversation with my buddy about this the other day. I said, emotional regulation is something that people don't have any discipline with anymore. I want it now. I want to say it now. I want to do it now. I don't want any consequences with what I'm about to do now. And I don't feel like I'm responsible for anything. The level of a lack of responsibility and lack of accountability in the United States now has gotten so horrific, and that's one of the contributing reasons why we're having such a health problem in the United States. It's getting worse. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault. I can't be responsible for what I eat. Those consequences aren't mine. It's the doctor's option. He needs to fix it for me. I can't be held responsible for my actions. Well, look at the 18, 19, 20-year-old generation now.
You know what feeds that? Everybody gets a participation trophy.
That's exactly right.
Whoa, wait a minute. Did I just say that? Everybody gets a participation trophy. Whether you're not, you showed up at class or did anything, you got a trophy.
Or you stayed up all night trying to study, and you've been working on the project for last month to make sure you got a 4.0 on it. You get a participation trophy, too. Well, why did I do all the work? I could have done nothing and got the same thing that the guy did.
Nothing
on. Oh, it's because everybody feels like they're entitled to something that they want. That's why social media has fueled it so excessively. Oh, I'm 18 years old. This YouTuber, he rented a Bugatti, but he said it's his. I want a Bugatti at 18. Why don't I have one? I'm entitled to one. He tells parents, why haven't you bought me a Bugatti? Why am I not in Miami in a penthouse? Why don't I have 18 girlfriends? Like all these guys on social media. Because that's not real, buddy. That doesn't exist in reality. But I want it to be the way I want it to be, and I don't want consequences with it. So what do these kids do? Watch it happen. They move down to Miami. They get enthralled an enormous amount of debt trying to keep up a lifestyle. They go bankrupt by the time they're 20, 21 years old. Ruined their entire financial system and can't do anything now for the next couple of years. Why? Because they didn't think there were consequences to their actions because they wanted something right now. The same thing with food. I want to eat a bucket of Blue Bell ice cream tonight. Okay? No discipline, but I want to do that. I want it, and I don't want the consequences. What they're saying now here with what's going on with these young children in the United States, they're saying that the results show that teenagers with significant abdominal obesity had a hippocampus almost 7% larger and amygdala almost 5% larger than those peers without obesity. The hippocampus helps out with memory and learning, while the amygdala controls emotions, happiness, and anger. when you're allowing these young kids to get unbelievably obese at a young age, you're teaching them no emotional regulation, no discipline, and no control over any actions of their body. You're saying, do as I want. Eat as much as you want. Basically, drink as much as you want. There are no consequences. Because understand, when a kid's 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, they don't completely understand long-term consequences at all.
We had a friend. The head of his married to a woman who's a horrible mother. I said that. And they had a vending business. And Austin knows exactly what I'm talking about. And they had a daughter. Her name was, let's call her Susie. That was on her name. And by the time she was 8 years old, she was 50 pounds overweight.
Yes.
And I told the mother, I said, she had this vending business. The kid had full access to all the candy bars from the vending business. And the kid got fatter and fatter and fatter. And finally, I told the mother, whose name was, let's call her Karen, just for fun. Not to mention the Karen that we know that we love so much, but just to call her Karen. And her name was not Karen. And all of a sudden, she goes, I said to her, I said, Karen, Susie's 50 pounds overweight. I don't care. I'm not going to tell her what to do. She can eat what she wants to do. It's her consequence. She's eight. She's at theta brainwave state. She has no idea. Before it's over with, guess what? With 300, 350, how much is she going to win?
She got gastric bypass surgery.
She had to have a gastric bypass surgery.
Yeah, that's what it led to eventually.
And now she's one of the most bitter women you've ever met. She's like 40 years old, unbelievably bitter and mean. Multiple marriages, multiple relationships, unbelievably bad, saggy skin. I mean, unbelievable. Her mom did that to her. Now, I'm going to say that again. Her mom did that to her. You think, well, you can't blame the mom. Heck I can. She was eight. She started that mess when she was six. You know, the kid didn't go home and buy candy bars. They go to the store. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Austin alluded to that a few minutes ago. That's the scripture that ties it together. Keep your kids healthy. Take my kids. I used to take the kids to the doctor every so often because they had school visits and all kind of stuff. And they'd say, we've never seen children this healthy. They're all lean. They're all muscled up. They look great. Their body chemistry is perfect. And I'm like, no, because we trained them how to eat. Now, does that mean they're going to stay that way as they get older? Well, not necessarily for a short period of time, but usually by the time they're 30 or 40 years old, they're back to where they were because they thought, I don't want to live like that anymore.
30 or 40, shoot, back about 22, 23 when I got back in bodybuilding out of college. I don't know. Problem is, once you feel good, once you're taking Ultimultiple powder and you're taking Purple Sticks and you understand what the body can feel like when it's operating at peak performance, and then you come off that and you start eating junk or you do something and you go on a cruise, gosh. You know what I'm talking about? The last time I went on a cruise, I felt so horrible when I got back.
The food on the ship
was waterlogged with so much sodium from the food. Yeah. Food used to be halfway decent on cruises.
Not anymore.
Now it's goy slop.
Oh, I was going to say goy slop.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Especially with Carnival.
But when you operate like that, you're like, oh my gosh. And I'm going to tie in this last segment with here. It says the mechanism, one possible way obesity affects the brain is through inflammation. Excess body fat sends inflammatory substances through the body. These chemicals travel through the bloodstream and enter the brain. Once inside, they trigger inflammation in brain tissue, potentially harming brain cells over time, especially at a young age when the brain is still growing and developing.
Ooh, that's good.
That is why it is so important to watch your kids' diet. And I've told you guys before, you don't have to have this. We all these rules for food. You die and I not have this. Thou shall not have this. You don't have to be like that. I told you the other day, I took the kids out. There's a place that has this really good Amish ice cream the other day. Went out the other day. Okay, cool. They had it. They had a blast. They'll run around, let them get some energy out. But I don't make it a daily habit every single day. That's what we're going to do. This is a concept that alludes to, I say that a lot, but you don't have to have a dessert after every meal. You don't have to have dessert after every dinner. I've been shocked sometimes. I go to people's places and they're like, oh, yeah, we got dessert. It's Tuesday. Yeah, we got dessert tonight. Tomorrow we got dessert again. I'm like, I'm good. I don't need dessert every night of the week. I love me some ice cream. But I know the consequences if I start eating an enormous amount of ice cream every day, I start getting fat. And it starts causing an inflammatory response. I start having a histamine response. I start blowing my nose all the time. What happens? That's the predetermined consequence that happens to my body if I start eating copious amounts of ice cream. Would I love to sit down and eat a giant tub of ice cream every single night? Yeah, it'd be fun. Would it be unbelievably harmful and toxic? Yeah, no interest in it. It says right here, the relationship between obesity and amygdala volume was particularly pronounced in those with high obesity level teens, suggesting a strong link between body fat and emotional dysregulation. The thymus acts as the brain's central relay station, helping process and direct information to other regions. The candidate nucleus is involved in processing visual information and controlling movement. When all these things become enlarged and inflamed, decision-making ability becomes impaired in all regions, not just dietary habits.
You know, I'd be willing to say this, too. If a person really lets themselves get inflamed, the same consequences are going to result in the same brain disorder.
Yeah,
even as adults, I believe that's.
But it affects children more. They said because of the developing brain, because the body's not developed. Remember, if a 6 or 7 year old eats a pint of ice cream, right? Say it's 1,000 calories. You have an adult eat that same pint of ice cream. It's going to affect that child anywhere between 4 to 8 times more. A, because of weight volume. B, because the body processes it much, much faster and efficiently as a child. And it affects them more because the body isn't as toxic yet. If a kid hasn't been eating this junk for his entire life, their body doesn't know how to respond to that massive amount of sugar. Adult, you're probably already drinking soda and eating crap all day. Your body's already dysregulated. It's like, okay, it doesn't affect you as much. It affects the children much, much more. And so this ties into everything we're saying. The choice you make for your kids now, it has consequence for them in the future.
It's like give them powdered multiple every day.
Yeah, or the chewable.
I said
a customer on the on here that asked if we're going to do a 3-pack on the children's chewable. That's just on there, right over here. By the way, we're live on YouTube. Appreciate you guys. I see a lot of you on here again today. And Children's long-term motivation is influenced far more by parenting, coaching, and school culture and personal experiences than whether they received a participation trophy. That's a fact, because the thing about it is, though, they also have to be led by example. You're right on that. If the parents are always getting a participation trophy, mm-hmm. and the parents always walk around like, oh, there's no consequences, you can do whatever you want. Go to school, do whatever you want. You could be a little Timmy, a little Jimmy. Everything is about no discipline anymore. That's where the concept usually allows.
And let me segue into one more section here. You know, a lot of this is just rebellion against God. I ain't God. You ain't God. You and me both, we're not God. There's God. But we're not him, okay? And, you know, he gave us very specific rules and guidelines, principles in the Old Testament. And then he says in Deuteronomy, okay, if you do this, you're going to get cancer and you're going to die really sick. If you do this, you can live and feel great. Now he goes, by the way, just in case you don't know this, you know, I suggest you choose life and not death.
But it's your choice.
It's called freedom of will. It's kind of like this. The children of Israel, you know, children of Egypt, they get out of Israel and now they're crossing the Red Sea and now they're basically having a big orgy.
Mount Sinai.
They didn't do that. Yeah, they did. Moses up on the mountain grabbing the Ten Commandments from God, having a chit-chat, talking to each other.
He's on the top of the mountain talking to the creator of the universe, having a dialogue, by the way. There's not a lot of stories referenced in the Bible of having direct conversations with God Almighty. There's not a lot. You got to think, the level of energy, they said they couldn't even touch Mount Sinai.
To die.
You had to rope it off. The energy was so thick, you touched it, you died. And they go, you know what? We need to have an orgy and make a golden calf.
Worship Baal.
That we ain't got nothing better to do. Don't mind the giant mountain with a huge cloud over that has so much energy touching you.
It's got lightning all over it.
We obviously, there's no consequences with that. So we're going to have our own party.
And we're going to sacrifice a few humans while we're at it. Yeah.
Now,
this is the same Kabbalist group that you didn't call them Kabbalist group back then. That's who they were.
Granted, they're 400 years in Egypt.
Like 60 elders they were. And they decided they were going to do this again because they wanted to go back to the ancient Egyptian mess. This is where the ancient Canaanite religions came from. All of this stuff right here. Okay? This is where the Zohar came from, right here. And all of a sudden, God says, you know, you got some pretty bad choices you're making. I'm giving you freedom of will. You do what you want to do, but guess what? We're going to open up the planet here and we're going to just kind of chop down on a bunch of you guys and kill you.
That was before grace.
Now, you think about that for a second. Now, you would think that the rest of them would realize that's the bad thing. They did it, and they kept doing it. They didn't stop. It was all so ingrained into them because Mama and Grandpa ate this way. We're going to eat this way. What does that have to do with sacrificing humans? It's a metaphor. Look at it from that standpoint. We learn by generational. People say, you got generational curses. That's a fact. They move on to people. And a lot of this goes to choices. See, all the boils back down to rebellion against God. God gave me rules to follow. I don't want to do my rules. I'm going to have my own choice. And you got it backwards. It ain't rules. He's telling you how to stay alive and live. See, it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so when we start choosing it to make, call it rules, and we want to put ourselves back into bondage and be miserable over it, then you're going to make yourself miserable. Just say, I choose to live this way. I choose to make these choices. I choose to live this. I choose not to eat pork. go to a restaurant. I remember one time I had a bunch of Jewish guys were at a table with me in a dinner. We were having in Beijing, China, off the cruise ship. And I said to the people, I don't eat pork. I said to the waitress, I said, what do you have that doesn't have pork or shellfish in it? And the Jews looked at me and they go, you're not Jewish. Why you don't eat pork? You're Gentile. I'm surprised they didn't call me a goy.
Not surprised they didn't call you a goy.
There's a no, I'm not surprised. Because I'd have knocked them out. They knew that. I don't give an air of being a victim.
Goy boy.
I'm pretty. They don't do that to me. Okay. And so I looked at them and I said, I follow God's word. Well, you're not Jewish. And I'm like, what difference does that make?
Well, because they're ethnocentric. They're the most racist individuals on the planet. They believe they're superior to everyone else.
And then the guy looked at me. I asked him, he's a psychiatrist out of New York.
We'll leave it at that.
I'm not going any further. And I said to him, he goes, well, you know, if the rabbi blesses the pig, it's clean and you can eat it. I said, no, it's not. Yes, it is. He's messing with my head. He said, no, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. And he goes, well, that's what we believe in. I'm like, no, you don't. What are you making crap up for? He's just trying to mess with me. And he kind of laughed. And I thought to myself, all I want to do is biatch slap this boy upside the head.
Yeah, he was just gaslighting.
No, he's gaslighting.
That's what he was doing.
No, he's to see how I responded, to see how deep my convictions ran. That's what he was doing, right? Because he was testing me. See, everybody wants to test you all the time. Well, you really going to do that? Well, yeah, I think I might. But it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. It's going to be something different. So I'm going to try to stay with God's word. And see, that's the point here. It's rebellion. It's always rebellion. Parent says to you, don't go there. Three Dog Night song. Mama told me not to come. Okay? You know, I've seen things I ain't ever wanted to see. I've done things I should have never done. You think, wow, that's a crazy song. It is a crazy song. The point is, God told you not to go. Whoa. God told you not to come. God told you to do it this way. It's working out a lot easier for you. But we wouldn't rebel against God. And so that's the thing we're trying. That's the only thing I want to talk about today on the show. I've got a bunch of other stories I've pulled up. But I want to let you know that it's not putting you into bondage. It's giving you choices. It's not rules. It's a choice.
It's making choices that have better consequences.
And because
better responses.
Because the consequences are predetermined. Listen to me. If you don't get to decide the consequences, they're decided for you. Whether it's by God or by law enforcement.
That's an interesting way you put that. Because you look at certain things, you know, manslaughter in the state of Florida. You get alcohol contributed manslaughter in the state of Florida, you get minimum 10 years in prison now. Mm-hmm. You kill somebody in a car because you're drunk, you get 10 years in a federal penitentiary. It's just predetermined.
That's right.
You do it, this is what's going to happen. I had a friend from Florida State that I knew that had that happen, so I'm bringing it up. Change entire life. I mean, 10 years in a state penitentiary will completely change you as a 21-year-old. It did him. And it's not that I don't agree with the consequence or I don't like it. It's just what the predetermined
thing is. No, it started. I had a friend of mine. Can't say he was one of those takers. You ever hung out with a taker? You got givers, you got takers. You got only two types of people.
That's it.
You know, they ask you constantly to help them do things. And the first time you ask them to help you something, I'm busy. I can't do that.
That's right.
You know, okay, let's go dating. Let's go dating for 10 seconds. You meet somebody online, okay? And you say, let's do a video chat for 10 seconds to make sure you're real, you're not a Chinese bot, and you're not AI. What do you mean you want to do a video chat? Well, you don't know if I'm real. I don't know if you're real. We got to talk to each other for a minute here before this conversation continues. I will pencil you in for a video chat 3 weeks from Tuesday at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. I've had that happen. And my response is always this. It's a 10-second video chat just to make sure you're not a bot. You know, if you can't find a time for 10 seconds in the next 3 weeks, how are you possibly going to go on a date with me?
I got some comments on here, though. I got to cover.
We're off the date. Here's the point. That's the thing you got to realize. You got choices. You got consequences. You got to realize there's people out there that are givers and people that are takers. And they're going to take. Back to what happened with Joe. Joe ended up being in high school with me. He went to law school. He was a taker. All he was, take all the time. Trust fund baby. He's in his early 30s. Guess what he does? He gets in a car drunk, BMW, has a kid in the front seat with him, hits a wall drunk, boom, a wall of dirt, big concrete embankment. Kid gets ejected through the car, dies. He goes to prison for 3 years. Yeah. Ruined his entire life. Now you said it's 10 years.
Yeah, that's 10 years. I mean, I think you can plead out. You're going to prison for a significant period of time, even if you plea out or even if you do some type of.
Well, then the family charged him for wrongful death. They have filed a lawsuit.
Civil suit.
Then
you're wrapped up in that while you're in prison.
So all of that stuff happened to him, whether he chose to have it happen or not. It just happened. It was a consequence.
And here's the thing. You know, what he was drinking that night before he got in the car.
He knew the choice, the consequences.
He did, but he didn't think about
it.
Happening to him.
He didn't care. He's trust fund baby.
That's the issue.
Trust fund babies are the worst.
Yeah, I remember I asked that guy at the dealership. We were at a dealership in Tampa one time, high-end car dealership. We were looking at some stuff. We were talking about different buyers and financing and stuff. He goes, oh, trust fund kids. He goes, they're the worst. He goes, they get $100,000 a month to piss through. $100,000 a month. He goes, and they're still broke. Everything's leveraged out. They're always waiting for their trust to kick in the next month on the first. Everything's financed to the max. They can't get finance on stuff because they've got eight other cars that are maxed out. And that's the problem because why? They didn't think there was consequences.
Somebody took the consequences away. They have money. But the choices are the consequences at that point are still there.
You could just mitigate them better if you have an enormous amount of money. The problem with it is at some point in time that catches up to you.
Jim,
even guys I know that have been trust fund kids.
Now, Jim, I'm going to do a little humor here. Jim Rohn said it this way. It was funny. He goes, money doesn't stop you from having problems. He says, let you handle the problems with style.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out of it a little bit better until you can't. Yeah.
And that's the thing. And by the way, I'm going to say something else to you. Money will not make you happy. You think, well, you can't, that's not true. Yeah, that's true. That's why so many people are so miserable after they become millionaires with their houses and their spouses and everything else. They don't have joy. It's the righteous peace of joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus that brings you the righteous peace and joy. And without that, it doesn't matter what you have, you'll never be happy. Satan tells you on the other side, hey, you see more stuff. Let me tell you something, guys. Stuff won't make you happy.
Kathy said on here, she's been listed for years. The products help her only have 2 days of side effects or basically issues from the COVID, which had it recovered 2 days a while back ago. Great job. Kenny, hello. Another one on here. James said, question. He said, I remember Austin saying something about HGH-stimulating pregnant women. Is it okay for them to take it while breastfeeding? I can't recommend that on that product or tell you to take it while you're breastfeeding. That choice is completely up to you. I can't make any claims on that because that product has nitric oxide and a lot of quercetin and citrulline in it.
When it comes to stuff like that, we just defer back to your doctor.
When it comes to breastfeeding, the only thing that I can recommend is the basically prenatals and the Ultra Omega. Those two go together for prenatals, and they're great for breastfeeding. That's all I can recommend on air. But thank you for the question, James. Also, too, Kyle said on here, he said, good morning, Ted and Austin. Quick question. Currently taking the thyroid support. It says take away from food. Would you recommend waiting close to 30 minutes or longer? On that product, if I recall, it's good to take it around a meal, usually before a meal. It allows the absorption slightly to get a little bit faster absorption before the meal, but 30 minutes is plenty. I wouldn't say you have to go much longer than that. 20, 30 minutes is kind of a lot of the same time when people talk about taking digestive enzymes. You can take digestive enzymes right before a meal. You're pretty much okay with them on there. Remember, they're plant cellulose capsules. And this stuff went from China with shellac. It doesn't have to sit in your gut for 5 days to try to digest. Try this. You want to throw multiple capsule? Throw in a glass of water. Just try experiment. One capsule. Glass of water. Not hydrochloric acid. Just water. And you'll come back in a few minutes, and the capsule's completely dissolved, and it's gone. There's powder sitting on the bottom of the glass. That's how fast it dissolves in your
body. That's how good our products are.
Right.
So, in fact, I'm at one of our manufacturers, and I've got a video of that. I actually show the cellulose capsules.
Yeah.
I need to have Mike post those.
We got them. We got to find them. You got all that.
I've got them on my iPad.
Still on there.
But guys, listen to me. Make the right choices. Don't make them rules.
Just make them choices. Here's another article going back to this. The stress-gut connection. More studies are coming out why anxiety fuels weight gain and how to break the cycle.
I want you to send that to me, please.
Yeah, I'll send it to you in a minute here. The stress disrupts digestion, gut bacteria, and weight. Modern science and traditional medicine offer ways to restore balance. Instead, stress is more than just a mental burden. It changes the way your body works. Whether we're anxious or overworked, stress hormones alter eating habits and disrupt intestinal environment. This is one thing I have had to say. I will say this. If you have had issues burning body fat, even though you're getting your diet back on track, you've got to look at your cortisol levels and you've got to look at your stress levels. I have seen this before where people have a hard time losing stubborn midsection fat and their diet is getting pretty good, but their lifestyle is rough. I mean, they're constantly stressed at work, they're high cortisol, they're not sleeping, they're stressed at home, they don't have any levels of basically a outlet, and they're constantly dealing with peak cortisol to peak cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone, meaning your body releases it when it's in a stress fight-or-flight syndrome, a flight-or-flight scenario. The problem that happens is when you have continual elevated cortisol for extended periods of time, the body completely slows down fat-burning hormones, almost stops them, and it goes into full survival mode. You trying to pull that up?
Yeah. What's the name of it? Yeah, I'm gonna read that one. I'm gonna post this right now. What you're talking about?
Okay. Stress gut connection. Why anxiety feels, weight gain, and how to break the cycle. And so what happens is you go from peak to peak to peak to peak. So even though you may be starting to eat clean and exercise, and I had a real good friend of mine, his wife, she's gotten back in great shape now. She came a couple of years ago. I talked to her. We were at dinner, and she was having a hard time losing weight. She had this really stressful job working for this pharmaceutical company. She had all these deadlines all the time. Everybody was throwing all their workload on her, and she pretty much was getting just eviscerated at work. Just constant, chronic problems, chronic stress. And she's like, Austin, I'm eating like chicken salad. I'm trying to do cardio at the end of the day or doing it in the morning. And she was losing weight, but it was really slow. And I told her, I said, you got to look at the thyroid support. I said, I'll get that for you. So I got her the thyroid support. I also got the cortisol buster. And I said, you also need to start looking at alleviating some of your stress at work. And so she did. She started on the thyroid and the cortisol buster, kept her diet clean, and actually ended up changing positions and went with a whole other sector of the company after a few months of that, because she said it was unfeasible. She couldn't handle it. And sure enough, I saw her a couple months ago. We were actually at the Monster Jam, and she looked fantastic. She's lost like 30, 40 pounds. She's lean. She's getting abs back. She's in the gym every day. And I'm like, whoa, so what happened? I mean, you nailed it. Obviously, you dialed it in. She goes, yeah. She goes, run the thyroid, run the cortisol, keep my diet clean, not eating super late at night. And she goes, I've got my job dialed back in. My stress load's way, way, way down. And I said, bingo. You've got to get the hormonal balance under control. And that's when it goes into detail here. It talks about the liver, the spleen, the kidneys. When all those are in a constant level of fatigue and fight or flight, or basically stress, none of the hormones respond properly. It says emotional eating. Stress drives weight gain by emotional eating. That happens a lot of times. People don't even realize it. They start craving salty things, crunchy things, sugary things. And those small little things of junk food that you eat all day add up in calories. You know, you grab a York peppermint patty, right? I think they're like 60 or 80 calories. Well, I love one occasionally. But
I had one the other day, I must admit.
They're great, but you can't eat 15 or 20 of them.
I won.
Right.
Unless it's your children.
Don't even get me started on that. They got a bag. We got a bag for Christmas last year. This is to show you consequences. I got a bag of Yorks for Christmas, and I gave it to me.
Like 100 per bag. Little ones.
They found it. I go in the room, they've got them, they're eating everywhere. And of course, they all felt unbelievably horrible after they ate about 20 of them. I said, well, you guys think about what you did. I wasn't mad. I didn't fuss. I didn't yell. I said, you guys got to deal with this. You guys got tummy aches now. We don't feel good, Dad. I said, well, you ate 20 Yorks. There's consequences that are predetermined when you eat that much sugar. Sure. Your body's going to spike insulin. You're going to feel like crap in about 30 minutes. And they did. And it's funny, they never did that again. They never bendered out on those again. Granted, I don't bring bags in the house anymore either. I never brought that in the first place.
By the way, Harvard Health has an article about the same topic, how the gut-brain connection influences mood, which influences cortisol.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what happens is your digestive tract may contribute to feelings such as happiness and hopefulness, as well as anxiety and irritability. Modern day expressions suggest we innately attune to the relationship between our brain and our gut axis. When we're nervous, we say we have butterflies. And now what it goes a little bit different to this too. You can also have butterflies. You could also give yourself a doggone ulcer.
Yeah, esophageal erosion.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and so then what they do is, then this is great. Now this is what they use a lot of times. You have a problem with esophageal erosion, you have a problem with your gut, they give you what's called a, and I'm not recommending this at all. I'm going to just read you some side effects. It's called a Julio pen. You know, you got some problems with an ulcer. You're bleeding a little bit internally. And they said, we're going to give you a Julio pen. And you think, well, what are the side effects of the Julio pen? It's you would have to inject it into your body. It's used to treat juvenile arthritis in adults at least 2 years of age. It's also used for Crohn's disease or intestinal issues, right? And so here's some of the side effects of this that you can be, you know, affected with. Fever, swollen glands, body aches, night sweats, rash, shortness of breath, feeling but terrible, weight loss, skin changes, rapid weight gain.
There you go.
You think, well so I had a friend of mine went on this, gained like 30 pounds.
Oof.
Okay, she went to the doctor. She gained weight like 3 weeks. Inflammation, swelling. And she went to the doctor. She goes, I'm gaining weight. It doesn't do that at all. So he contacted me, and I found this article in about 30 seconds, and I said, here's your doctor's an idiot. He can't even look it up. He said, this is a side effect.
It's on the insert sheet.
Numbness, pain, tingling, weakness, burning, prickly feeling, vision or hearing problems, trouble breathing, heart attacks, death. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on, right? Fatal infections. I mean, it goes on and on. And you think to yourself, Wow. Okay. Well, maybe they should have used cabbage juice.
Did I say that?
Did I say cabbage juice? I'm not making any claims here, and I'm not saying anything you should or shouldn't use. I'm just saying that sometimes when you have problems with your stomach and you have problems with certain ulcers and things in your stomach, cabbage juice has been used for centuries.
Well, I'll tell you guys, most guys know me back in my 20s when I was really, really pushing everything hard. I was trying to bring Health Masters back and was trying to be competitive bodybuilding. When I was 26, I came down with pericarditis. Got inflammation in my heart. I would be hospitalized. I was hospitalized for multiple days. And there was multiple contributing factors. One, I didn't sleep. I just had my son, Hunter. I was trying to run the office and do all kinds of different things, including prep for a bodybuilding show on top of that. So I was averaging about 2 hours of sleep a night. He didn't like to sleep when he was first born. And then I was eating an enormous amount of calories and tapering my calories down, doing morning cardio, doing fasted cardio, doing training at night. And then I started having gut problems. This is what started it. I started having gut problems, and then I started having basically issues with inflammation because of all this, and I started taking a lot of BC powder aspirin. Now, there's the thing. There's predetermined consequences to taking copious amounts of aspirin.
There you go.
And I didn't care. I wanted the goal that I wanted. I wanted to get the company back up and running. I wanted to basically be a good father, and I wanted also win another bodybuilding competition. All three got shut down. Put it that way. Because the consequences that led to enormous amounts of caffeine intake, because that's another thing, I started taking more and more caffeine. And at that point in time, I was also experimenting with different pre-workout formulas. We didn't have purple sticks back then. So I was taking probably close to a gram of caffeine a day. And that's really what got my heart. About a gram of caffeine a day to function, because I wasn't sleeping. And then I started taking more BC powder, and I came down with what was called esophageal erosion. It's where I used to start eating my stomach up from all the BC powder. And I started having so much gut problems and so much inflammation, it got in basically and got into my heart. And ended up having to go to the hospital. Because if you guys know me, I don't like going to the doctor. And I will push things to the far max limit of life before I have to go to one of those guys. And I did. And finally, Ted came in one day and I went to another physician.
You're the physician.
Yeah. He walked in there and he goes, dude, your heart rate, blood pressure is 230 over 180. Pericarditis swelled my entire heart up. I'm like, I'm fine. He goes, you're going to the hospital ER now.
That's what Ted said. Me.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
Stubborn.
Now listen to how stupid the doctor was. He was at a doctor's office giving him an infusion of vitamin C intravenously.
Yeah.
Increasing his blood volume.
Volume.
By giving him a liter of
which
fluid.
Was increasing my blood pressure, which is causing me to go basically almost a heart attack.
No, I walked in and I said, this stops now. Get in the car.
Yeah.
And I drove him over to Celebration. And he was in complete cardiac failure. They had the helicopter on the way. Let me tell you the whole story. And so I had enough of this. I said, this is crap. So I took authority over it. I'm in the ER. There's all these doctors from Harvard and everywhere else all around. And I started praying out loud and mean and basically focused.
EKG was completely off the charts.
They were bringing a helicopter into medevacing. They were going to have to do like heart surgery on him. And I said, basically, excuse my vernacular, hell no, this ain't happening right now. I started putting angels around him. I started pleading with God to fix him, and I mean the whole pretty soon everybody, the whole doggone emergency room's got their heads bowed. I mean, I went completely choleric type A out loud in the hospital.
We had a girl in there from Brown University, probably one of the best doctors. She walks in there, she goes, what are you guys doing? So she goes on point everybody, she goes, he needs this, get him heart stable, boom. And I'm giving me what a
morphine,
get her heart down now.
The heart down. And by the grace of God, he lived. Obviously, he's here right now. He almost died. So you think, there's consequences.
Well,
there's choices.
Here's the issue, and I've always run into this. I've gotten a lot better about it now. I don't like to complain. I think if you complain, you sound like a little baby back boy. You need to figure out your life. Just work the problem.
Kind of like Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, work the problem. Complaining doesn't fix anything. So I just ate it for weeks. Got worse. Just took more BC powder. Slept less. Took more caffeine. Slept less. Worked out harder. So, well, if I work out harder and I take more caffeine, that's my reasoning at 26. And no, I'm not. Consequences be darned. I'll deal with the consequences. Well, I dealt with them eventually because I kept putting it off and off and off and off and off until it reached a point.
He about met Jesus.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I probably could have handled it 3 or 4 weeks earlier very easily. Just got my diet, brought my diet down because I was eating so much food for prep.
But remember, you had intestinal permeability because of all the aspirin you were taking, and something happened. You got intestinal infection.
That's right.
And you got bacteria in your bloodstream. That caused the pericarditis.
That's why I'm very, very cautious about taking aspirin and BC powder. Now, rarely do I ever take it because the problem is, I'll admit to you guys, it gets addictive. BC powder is really great. It works really good. If you're hurting or you got a joint problem or you're tired, you take BC powder, you're like, aspirin and caffeine. Old school. The problem with it is you can't keep taking it every single day, every single day.
Aspirin would never be approved now, or near the with Tylenol now, if it had to go through clinical trials.
Especially not near the high dose continuous aspirin.
Not
Tylenol never would.
Nope.
So, again, that's my story. You guys want to know why I'm so funny about a lot of stuff with gut health, why I'm so picky about it now, why I'm so dialed in with gut bacteria and the food that I eat, making sure you have proper bowel movements, making sure you keep inflammation down, make sure you constantly take the right supplements to keep your body in a homeostasis period. That's why. I've rarely ever talked about that because, quite frankly, that was a rough time of my life. But I'm here. That was almost 12 years ago now, and I'm healthier than ever. And I continue to tell other people how you can avoid those consequences, because even though I at 26 thought I was immortal, I really did. I thought the consequences would not apply to me. I'd work out my way out of it. That's what I thought. I will train harder, I will train more, and I will completely push my body through this. And I did all right. About pushed it into a grave. So just
the graveyards are full of people that do that and don't listen.
Yeah. Stubborn. Being stubborn. So again, you can say, well, Austin, I don't like that rule of not having BC powder multiple times a day all day. That's a rule you have. No, it's just a thing that I choose not to do because I know the long-term consequences on the end. There's no rules to it. It's just the best option to not do.
Isn't it a lot easier to say it's just a choice?
Just a choice.
Instead of a rule? Think about that for a second.
For people,
reframe it in your head.
Yeah,
make it a choice.
I get it. People that sometimes are aggressive, or stubborn. A lot of times you hear rule and you're like, oh, rule. I don't like rules. I don't want to be involved in those rules. Rules are for those. Rules for thee, but not for me. It's not a rule, guys. It's just a basis of point to go off of. It's a conviction. It's something that's best just not to do.
It's just a baseline.
It's just a baseline.
You say,
it's what it is.
What,
it's a baseline.
Say, you know, you don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't do drugs. You don't commit adultery. You don't do this. You don't do this. Okay?
They're not rules. They're just baselines.
It's just a baseline of what you expect.
It's a baseline of a conviction. And again, that goes back to discipline. Discipline isn't a rule. Discipline is a choice that you do to go further. I'm being disciplined on this because I want to have this in the future. It's deferred. Basically, it's what do they call it? It's a deferred emotional, you know, enjoyment now because I'm going to go further and do something later on. I'm going to save my money now and not spend it on frivolous things right now because in 10 years, I want to purchase this house. I want to purchase this car. I want to purchase this business. So I'm going to defer those things right now. That's all it is. I'm going to just defer that. I'm not going to take 8 BC powders a day. Probably best you just never do that. Don't even defer that one.
especially you don't mess up your eyes and go blind. Because that aspirin will cause it'll cause wet macular degeneration. Be careful, guys. Make the right choices. Remember, the real choice is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
There you go.
And to realize there is a God and you're not him. And that God gave us Jesus to die for us, to shed his blood for us, to redeem us, to bring us back to God, so that when we miss the rules and we don't pass the proper choices, God's still there for you. He still loves you just as much. Now, for me, I wouldn't be like that. You wouldn't be like that either. Don't sit there and adjust your halo. You know, as far as we're concerned, most human beings would just say, well, they can all go to hell. We don't care. And I hope that never happens to anybody. But the reality is God doesn't want that. He has that much love. As far as the east is from the west, he forgives our sins and things that we don't do. And you can call the sins, the consequences of the choices. That's what you call them if you'd like. Because we all have to make choices. We have freedom of will. That's why it's so frustrating with kids sometimes. They're going, well, you're making this bad decision. You're making a bad choice. I don't care about the consequences. But see, when you get to the point in your life when you start realizing these consequences are there regardless of whether you want them or not, like stepping off that bridge, then you start to realize you make that choice, but these are going to be the consequences for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to graduate school. I'm not going to go to law school. I'm not going to go to medical school. I want to smoke dope.
I'm not going to trade school. Trade school is a great option for a lot of kids. Especially the tech sector.
Oh,
my gosh.
Well, electricians, too.
Yeah.
Everybody needs an electrician. Everybody needs a plumber.
Well, especially electricians, because the electricians in the tech sector are completely crossed now. Mm-hmm. They have to have each other. So, again, guys, stay strong. Stay healthy. Keep your minds up. Stay positive. Get this done. It's Tuesday today, guys. It's the beginning of the week. Kind of beginning of the week, not middle of the week. You all got this. Keep pushing. Stay strong. Stay healthy. Y'all need anything? Product of the week, multiple capsules.
Great product.
That'll be on sale till tomorrow when it changes over. And, of course, we have all the other regular products we have on here, including the multi-pack kits that we have with the three packs on here, and also, too, the different protocol kits that we have on the site, including the Spike Protein Survival Kit, really popular kit, and the Stress Management Kit, really good one to maintain healthy cortisol levels. Appreciate y'all. Talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always. And thank you for the YouTube family, I guess you guys are now. Y'all been fun.
I think we're going to call this show Healthy Choices and Consequences. I think it's a good name of the show. Choices and Consequences. Love you guys. choice. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. We can do all things through him. And the same power that raised Jesus from the same power that was on that mountain they couldn't touch, the same power that raised the citizens that's inside of you right now as a Christian. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. We'll talk to you guys, and thank you for your support, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.